Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it.
Now, fasted in April, we've been kind of in a stirring. God is stirring up our hearts, our minds, our spirits to look to him for the unexpected, unimaginable. And of course, it reminds me of that passage that says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And that's what God has been stirring us up to keep us going in that direction. So we thank God for that. We thank him for preparing us, and look for opportunities where God can use you in the supernatural. The reality is, it's not us, it's him. All we have to do is be made available. Amen. And just continue to put our trust, our faith, our confidence in him. Amen. It's too far. All right. Let me try to turn these things up. So, for those that are giving, let's stand. Even if you're not giving, let's go ahead and stand. You be still. Father, we thank you for the good gifts that you give to your people. As I quoted in your word, that there's no good thing that you will withhold for those of us that walk uprightly. And Lord, we can't walk uprightly unless you lead us. So Lord, we're asking for your leading, so that we can walk uprightly and be pleasing in your sight. Thank you for your son, Jesus, for being a giver to us. And we ask that you would return our gifts to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Come and give at this time.
God can do all things according to his riches. And just play up. God can do all things according to his riches in glory. Come on. God can do all things according to his riches in glory.
God can do all things according to his riches in glory.
One more time.
God can do all things according to his riches in glory.
One more time.
God can do all things according to his riches in glory. Yeah. He can do exceedingly all things. He can do all things according to his riches and glory. Praise God. Well, I don't know if I can say summer's here, because technically it's not, but it sure feels like it. And the bad thing about Seattle is we're not an air-conditioned city. Every place you go, is only the buildings are air-conditioned, but most houses are not. So I hope everybody has enough fans at home to keep themselves fan. Why don't you, Marquise Jr., when you get a chance, push that fan forward a little bit. This is what they see right here. Push it towards the back of the last seat, if it'll go. Watch the cord, though, and then don't pick it up, because it'll come out. Just slide it. Slide it. So that red button. That's good. That's good. All right. We have to get some of these other windows opened as well. see if we can, because all there is just paint. So we're going to try to work on that this week too. It'll probably be 60 degrees next week. But we'll be ready for summer because it will get hot. All right, Pastor, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, give Pastor a hand as he comes.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It is a privilege and an honor to be in the house of God today. Amen. Anybody excited that he woke you up in your right mind? Amen. I don't know about you. You might not know, but some people are not clothed in their right mind. So I thank God for being clothed in my right mind. And the bad thing is those people that are not clothed, they think they are. And that's very dangerous. But I thank God that he has not only allowed me to wake up in my right mind, but as the word of God says, he is renewing my mind. Amen. So I get in that word daily so he can renew my mind. Amen. Well, I'm not going to hold you too long, but we're going to continue in the message. And Pastor Franklin looks like he has a tribe once again, and he's going to take them to the park. Amen. So God be with them and keep them in Jesus' name and keep his mind. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for the opportunity to share your word with your people. God, I pray to God that your word would break yokes. Oh God, that your word would bring deliverance, that your word would strengthen, encourage, and show us who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. We're going back to the basics. That's what we've been preaching on, or what I have been preaching on for the last several times I've preached. I think this is about my fourth. This is part four, or part five, actually, of this. And last week, I started on sharing the gospel. It is very important that we as Christians continue to share the gospel, because that is the saving power. Amen. If we don't share the gospel, if we don't even understand the gospel, we miss the whole fact of why Jesus has placed us, brought us into him. Amen. The gospel is us declaring that Jesus came, lived a blameless life, died and rose for our sins. And if we accept his sacrifice, we can be made free. We can be free from sin. We can be free from death. And we can also be free and become who God has called us to be. Number one, that calling is to have a relationship with him. Amen. This all comes from the gospel. So I preached about that last week. I'm not going to go into what I said last week, but we must continue to share the gospel. The point that we're going to get in right into today is, let the gospel do the work and not you do the work of the gospel. Okay, sometimes we get hung up on, man, I can save this person. Anybody heard of, they call it ministry dating? Anybody ever heard of ministry dating? Like, if I date them, like, if they just around me, I can help them get to the Lord. Amen. Like, they need to get saved because it's a reward for me. Amen. But what we see and what we seem to miss is the fact that trying to do something in our own strength will hinder what God is trying to do. Now, that does not mean that you should not share the gospel with somebody. Amen. But you should not try to do the work of the gospel. And even some people, before they get saved, they say, I got to clean myself up. We've heard that so many times. Man, I'm not coming to church until I know I'm right. I can't go in there like this. But no, the fact is that the gospel, when we accept the gospel, he cleans us so that we can be in right standing with God. Because if you try to do it yourself, you will never be in right standing with God. So let us let the gospel do the work instead of us trying to do the work of the gospel. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read this chapter. I think I got three or four passages that I will read today. And that's 1 Peter, just chapter 1. And Peter talks about the gospel. He talks about certain things about the gospel. But did you know that the gospel is not only saving to those that are lost, but it is something that saves us and continues to save us until we reach God? Amen? God has given us the gospel, which is the good news, so that even in this go through trials, when we go through tribulation, we can look, as the Bible says, to the hills, for which cometh our help. And I just said something in the King James Version, which cometh. But that's where my help comes from. Right? Not, and let me be clear. I'm not talking to, what's that hill? Queen Anne Hill. My help does not come from that hill. Okay? My help comes from the Lord. But it says look to the hills because that's as far up as you can look. He's higher than what we even think. Amen? But it says this. Let's go ahead to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read this whole chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, which is somebody that is been enlisted to share the gospel, right? And it says, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Bithynia. Elect and to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, what is he saying? He's just saying this is who I'm writing it to. I'm writing this to those who are dispersed all over, but thank God he's even writing that to us. Amen. Now it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection, of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, so we have mercy, and not just any mercy, abundant mercy. What is mercy? This is a church word that we use quite a lot. Come on, somebody help me. What does mercy mean? I can't hardly hear you. Okay, not getting something you deserve. Lenient, as she said. God is abundantly not giving us our due penalty. Okay, the gospel is the fact of the gospel is without God, you get your penalty that you deserve. But in Christ, because I have received him, now I have his mercy that blocks what I deserved. Okay? So that's what we see in this scripture. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has given me mercy. This is the gospel. Then it says, this is why, though. It doesn't stop there because some people think I'm just getting saved. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 right now. But they say, I just get saved and that's it. That's where you get the doctrine, once saved, always saved, because they haven't caught the understanding of there's more than just receiving Christ. Now he enables you to do something. Amen. Then it says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Catch this. When you are surrendering your life to God and continually surrendering, you are kept by the power of God. Amen. Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And he says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So the gospel, check this out. The gospel does not change your immediate situations and circumstances. That's what we got to catch. Because some people be like, man, I gave my life to Christ, I got saved. But you are still in the same world that you are in. And for some people, that makes it difficult. God, I thought you saved me. I'm still around. God, I don't know why this happened when you said you saved me, but God will save you despite what you are around. Yeah. And even in that, he is saving you for you to be a light in that area. Amen. Then it says, you might have trials. That's what it says for a little while, but verse 7 is key. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The things you go through are to prove your faith. You guys catch that? Everything I go through, I said this last week, I must grow through. Okay? I cannot allow something that I go through to hinder me from accepting what Jesus is doing. Amen. I have to allow me to continue to trust God despite, right? Despite the storms of life, I will continue to trust God. Despite the storms of life, I will trust him because he is faithful. Amen. And not only that, I must also praise in that test. I must give him honor and give him glory through those things. Amen. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So the beginning of the gospel is I accept. The end of the gospel is the salvation of my soul. But guess what? In between that time, somebody say in between. There's a thing called sanctification. All right, now that's a churchy word, right? I'm sanctified. Sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It really means God is continuing to make me clean, continuing to make me like him. When I surrender and give my life to Christ, I have to allow the blood of God to sanctify me. I have to allow his word to sanctify me. The more I read his word, the more he creates me into who he's called me to be. Amen. Amen. Verse 10 says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us that were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which the angels desire to look into. What is that saying? There was many prophets that couldn't wait to see how this salvation was going to come to play. And it says even the angels desired to look into this, but they couldn't until the appointed time. Okay? That means in heaven, they all knew that God had a plan once sin happened. I don't think the angel Michael was sweating like, oh man, I don't know if God's going to get this under control. No, he wasn't sweating. He knew that there was a plan. Last week when we preached about the gospel, it said in the beginning of time, God designed the gospel. He already had it ready. Why? Because, and we talked about God is the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's not confined to time like we are. He is beyond that. Amen. Our thinking, they call us finite beings, right? God is an infinite being. Okay, so what does that mean? We are limited. There is not, I watched an episode yesterday of Mission Impossible. And this guy, he thought they had came up with immortality. So he was like, oh, can you give me that? And they were like, no, we can't give it to you. Not unless you basically repent and tell what you've done wrong. So he shares everything he does wrong. And basically they were trying to catch him because he was a bad guy in politics and they found him. So he shared it and then they left thinking he was going to get immortality, but he didn't because it doesn't exist like that. Amen. But we know that God is immortal. Amen. Verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. All right, which means get ready. Somebody tell your neighbor like T.D. Jakes, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, come on, say it, come on. I know y'all heard him say it, right? Get ready, be sober. Somebody say be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Catch this. I must rest fully on his grace. Okay? Which really means I don't deserve this. It don't matter how good you acted, right? It don't matter how clean you are. It don't matter where you are from. It don't matter what family you were born to. You don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve to even know Jesus Christ. But he revealed himself through his grace. Amen. It is grace. It's because of his grace that we are understanding who he is today. It's because of his grace that we're even here. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So not only do we have his grace, but because we have his grace, it should change the way we move. See, some people don't catch that. They think I got his grace, that means I can do whatever I want. That's not in the Bible. I just read that you received his grace. Now your obedience comes because we have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? You don't obey somebody you don't really understand. You don't obey people that you don't really feel like are worthy of your obedience. Right? Right? That's why if you have a problem with somebody that's your supervisor, you're like, I'm not really feeling you. I don't really, you know, even though I'm at this job, you know, if me and you had somewhere to go, I'm not going to listen to you. Right? Because we don't respect that person. And the crazy thing is, that's what happens when we get grace and we don't respect grace. We just look at it like, oh, I deserved it. But we didn't deserve it. And since we didn't deserve it, you act a certain way. I don't know if you ever got something that you didn't deserve in the natural. Right? Maybe somebody came and Lord, maybe this is going to happen for somebody. Maybe somebody came and gave you a car, paid off, and your insurance is taken care of. Right? Are you going to trash that car? Are you going to crash the car? No, you're going to do everything in your power because you're like, I don't deserve this. And I'm not talking about a bucket. I'm talking about a luxury vehicle, okay? When they give you the vehicle, you're like, man, look, I'm going to wash this thing up, right? Because I didn't deserve it. I'm going to put it in, or maybe we get, you know, some of us, you know, we have these rooms. I was talking about it with my friend today. We have a room in the house sometimes that you're not even really supposed to walk into. So you might have had furniture in that room. Now, my parents did. They, if you ever been to my parents' house, they had that room right when you walk in the main doors. We could not go in that room as kids. Right, now you see my mom open the door. Now she had furniture in there, and you know, just like most black people, that furniture had what? Yes, it did. Okay? And why though? Why? She received it as a gift. And it was very expensive. I don't know about you. Have you ever seen somebody with China? China just ain't on the counters, right? It's not on the countertop. It's in the counters, hidden away, where the kids can't touch it. And you don't give kids China because they might drop it. But see, God has given you something finer than China that he wants you to cherish, but you have to understand you did not deserve it. That's good. Amen? So be holy, he says, as I am holy. That means holiness is really a form of obedience. Obedience to his word. I obey God because I received something I didn't deserve. So I surrender my life to him and say, okay, God, your will, not my will, be done. Amen. Verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct, somebody say conduct. See, these things are not priests anymore. It's just like, you got grace, go. Be you, do what you do. Right? Which makes it difficult for, I've heard people talk about like superstars when they get saved. What happens is people are so excited that they come into their church, they don't share the full gospel with them. And what happens is, man, hey, look, first of all, they go through more stuff than we go through. Yeah. Why? Because they got money. And I think some rapper said, more money, more problems, right? Which, why? Because people are chasing you because of your money. People are chasing you because of your status. The same people that were around you when you grew up might not be around you. Or if they are, it's because, hey, bro, you remember I did that one thing for you? Can you help me out, please? I need. And if you say no, oh, man, he ain't a real one. He ain't for real. So they're going through different things. But if we just share with them the grace of God, without the conduct that should follow, they miss what it really is. Amen.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
I say this, I'm not really a starstruck person. I kind of did that before when I was a kid. Ooh, Michael Jordan. I saw Michael Jordan. He was like this close to me, right? And Michael Jordan acknowledged me zero. He didn't acknowledge me. And I'm like, hey, can we get your autograph? He didn't acknowledge. So it's like, but I saw him and I'm like, he's just a normal person. Right? So if I'm sitting next to people that are big or whatever, I'm not like, oh, bro, let me take a picture with you. That's not my kind of personality. Right? I'm going to be like, hey, what's up, bro? How you doing, man? You know, what's good? Okay. I mean, I'm going to invite you to something. What's going on? What you got going on? Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be, look at this person and put them at this level, because the only one we should put at that level is, come on, somebody help me, is God. But we don't even put God at that level sometimes. God, let me take a picture with you. Hey, God, oh man, I'm in his presence. Let me Facebook this. Man, that sounds silly, right? But that's what we do after all these other people. And they are just people. So it says conduct. Somebody say conduct. What does conduct mean? When you think of a conductor on a train, it's the guy that is making sure it stays on the track. You must conduct yourselves, as it says right here, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in. Now, this word, we got to be careful with how we read this. It says conduct yourself in fear. And I'm going to put a different word in there so we can catch the full meaning of that word fear. I'm going to say in reverence. That means I revere God, which means I always keep in my conscience who he is. Okay? So when I live, I conduct as if God is sitting right here next to me. Okay? So look, if my wife is gone, I am not going to sneak around and do different things because God is next to me. I keep that in my reverence. Now, if you don't have that, it's like, well, she's gone. All right. Well, let me go and do this over here. Let me go do this over here. Right? Okay, look, somehow we got subscribed to Sports Illustrated. Okay? I don't know how this happened. And some other magazines. And I didn't do it. And I'm not paying for it. Thank God. But they sent the swimsuit edition to my house. And you know what I did? I folded that thing up, went right into my house and burned it. And let my kids see, look, that ain't what daddy messes with. I don't need that in my house. So I burned it right away. So Precious comes, oh, you burned the fire. And it's like 80 degrees outside. So I'm like, yeah, I burned this magazine that came to my house that I didn't order. And I don't want it in my house. Right? And I'm not going to throw it into something somebody else can get it. Amen. But the only reason that I do that is because I revere God and understand he's next to me. The things that I look at, I have to say, God, are you cool with looking at this, God? Because if you're not cool with looking at this, then I can't be looking at this. David said in his heart, he made a commitment to God that I will not look at anything that makes God upset. And I'm pretty sure he had to do that after Bathsheba, right? Because he saw the problems that came with that. Okay? So we must revere. This is how we must conduct ourselves. And it says, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And then verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Or for us now, you were not redeemed with money. Money one day will be high, one day it'll be low. All right?
It says, from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. So you weren't bought with that, but it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Remember, the gospel happened before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Check this out. You cannot believe in God outside of Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't know if Jesus Christ is God, but I still believe in God? Well, the Bible says, who through him believe in God. That's the only way it works. Jesus said himself, I am the door. Any man that comes another way is going, he's a thief and a robber, and he's not going to get in. So Jesus is key. Amen? Amen. Verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So Peter takes time to say, okay, not only are you, the gospel is accepting Christ, but now he has enabled you to live a life according to him. And I conduct myself constantly reverencing or referencing, you can even use that word, God in every area of my life. See, a lot of people will say he's my Lord, or a lot of people, I always say this, they will admit that God is their savior. I got saved, but he hasn't became their Lord. And what does that look like? He's not your Lord because you don't check with him. I'm going to do this. Why are you going to do this? Because I feel like doing it. Okay, praise God. That's not referencing God. Because even in your, even when you're in your feelings, you have to check those with God. As a believer of the gospel, the true gospel, I must say, even though I'm in my feelings, you could be Drake himself, right? In your feelings, but if you are not submitted to God, you're missing his will. And you're missing it. And this is the key, though. We have all done things that we shouldn't have done. Amen. I can admit that. But the difference is, you say, God, forgive me. Now help me do the right thing. Yeah. See, the Bible says that godly sorrow brings forth repentance. Worldly sorrow leads to death. Okay, what does that mean? When you're sorry, when you have godly sorrow, that means I might have done something wrong, but I'm going to try not to do that again because I want to please God. Yeah. Worldly sorrow means I got caught, I'm sorry, but I might do it again. Right? That's the difference. Worldly sorrow has no repentance, which means to turn away. And that's because without Jesus, you can't repent from your sins. You ever saw people trying to do the right thing, but they can't because they're trying to do it in their own strength. And it might work for a little bit. Let's be real. You can have a good, Tamron was preaching at the conference. He was talking about behavior. You can change your behavior up to so much. But after a while, it's not just behavior. Relationship with God doesn't come with behavior, right? Now, you can have habits that you create because of your relationship, right? But your relationship is something that must, as Darcene just said, must happen in your heart. I can't have these 12 steps to be a Christian without accepting Christ. And what happens is, like I said when I started, people want to do the work of the gospel instead of allowing the gospel to do the work. Right? I can get right if I just do this. If I'm not smoking, if I'm not drinking, if I ain't having sex, you're just a good person. But if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you're not good enough in his eyes. Right? And that's what the Word of God says. But we live in a time and a day and an age where it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days men will be lovers of themselves, and they will find people that speak words that they like to hear. Because they want to please themselves. They want to feel good. I don't want to come to a church that's telling me I need to get right. I don't want to come to the church that says you're not worthy. But guess what? You're not right and you're not worthy. And you need Jesus. Just like I need Jesus. Every pastor that preaches the word of God, I don't care how high and mighty they are, they still need Jesus like all of us need Jesus. That's why I don't even put pastors on a quote unquote pedestal, because they are just men and women of God. Does that mean I don't respect them? No, that's not what I'm saying. I respect them, but respect them and understand they're just a man. Even God told us Elijah is just a man. The man that called down fire, the man that told the sky to stop. They said Jesus in the word of God says he was just a man. Amen. Let's get to my next passage. I'll just read this one right here, and I'll pick up on the other ones next week. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5, and I was reading this in my devotional. And as I always do, I encourage you guys to read the Bible daily if you can. Even get a little devotional if it's a few scriptures. Just restart somewhere. Okay? My kids know. Are you playing on your iPad? Well, you better read that Bible. You got time to play that game? Then you better get. I'm trying to train in them to understand that God comes first. Amen? And not beat them over the head with it, but I'm just like, just read this, man. It's not even 5 minutes. And you watching that fake Barbie show for, you know, I mean, golly. Oh, man. Or playing that football game. Yeah, both boys and girls. And it says, and I, 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 1 through 5, and I, brethren, when I came to you, okay, this is what I want to say even before I get into this. Paul writes this to the church of Corinthians. How do I know that? Because it's in 1 Corinthians. He's writing this to the church of Corinth. Amen. But he writes this, and Paul is even saying, I don't preach the gospel with fancy words. I didn't come here to make you feel, I didn't come here to persuade you with how smart I am. Right? Sometimes people get in a habit of, oh, I'm going to share the gospel. Let me give them something that, you know, nobody else has said before. Let me break it down. Man, just be simple with it. Give them the gospel. Have you ever been around somebody that says so many fancy words you don't even know what they're saying? You're like, man, I need to look this up. Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, you just nodding your head like, oh, what did he say? I don't know. I have no idea. He wasted the time. But it says here, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For it says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Okay? Sometimes we want to persuade people with instead of godly wisdom. Okay? What does that look like? Oh, man, I want to just share with you something that happened in my life. Right? And there's nothing wrong with sharing your testimony. That's cool. But don't make your testimony supersede the gospel. Because your testimony cannot save people. Amen? You know, somebody's like, oh, man, I don't know. No, your testimony doesn't save. That's a result of you being saved. Okay? So you have to share the core of your salvation. Okay? And that is in Jesus Christ. And it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why did he come like this? So that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, we read Romans chapter 1, 16, where it says, what does it say? I keep forgetting. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power unto salvation for all those who believe. And it says first to the Greek and then to the Gentile. Okay? Or first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I'm sorry. It's not just to the Greeks first. All right? But what is that saying? There is power in your belief. You only get power from something when you're plugged in to the source. Okay? I don't know if you ever tried to cook something and your oven is not plugged in, but I don't care how fancy you get, it's not going to work. All right? Or maybe you have a gas stove. If your stove is not connected to the gas or your gas runs out, you can keep lighting the match, but it will just go away. It won't work. But that's what happens when you have salvation minus the power of God. When you put your worldly wisdom, well, this person said this, and I accepted what that person said, but I didn't accept the power of God that's actually doing the changing in my life. And that happens when people want to persuade you with words. They want to persuade you with nice, fancy things like, oh, yeah, you just got to do this. The Bible says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, then I can be saved. But they want to add other stuff in there. That's persuasive words by men. So if I just accept the gospel and not only accept it, but when I preach it, I must preach it in the spirit of God and in the power of God. You ever wonder why they said in the Bible every time where Jesus preached, it says he preached with authority? We don't really see that with anybody else up until that point. Because they didn't know God like Jesus knew God. No matter how much they were close to God, they could never say that me and God were one like Jesus did. And the power of our salvation comes from knowing God. And when we share that salvation, the power comes when we declare God. We must declare God when we are sharing his gospel. Amen. I'm going to read one more passage. Luke chapter 23, 39 through 49. This is one of the thieves on the cross. And this is the most simple form of the gospel that I can see. Because this thief on the cross wasn't baptized. This thief on the cross didn't, he didn't kneel down and pray. Right? He didn't get off the cross, and we're going to see what he did. It says, you got it? Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43, and then I'm going to close. Hallelujah. It says, then one of the criminals, which actually really shows us something here. When I say a criminal, that means you're what? Guilty. Okay? So then one of the guilty who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us. Now check this out. Was what he said wrong? No. It's the spirit that he said it from. Because it said he blasphemed, which means made fun of. Right? When I blaspheme, I'm making fun of. It's like trolling. Anybody here know what trolling is? I am just saying this because I know it's not really going to happen, or I don't really believe it can happen. That's what one of the guilty said. But then the next verse says, but the other, and let me just fill in the blank for you guys, guilty, criminal, right? Answered and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? Reverence. Catch that? Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed, catch this. This is the gospel in this quick clip. We indeed justly, For we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. So basically he's saying we deserve this. But this man has done nothing wrong. Okay? This man has done nothing wrong. Next verse. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, let me be clear, because some people would see this right here and be like, he didn't do the steps. But he did. It was his heart already. He knows he was guilty. He admitted he was guilty. He believed that Jesus was God. Right? He confessed his sins, but this is so quick in the Bible. Sometimes we pass over it and understand that Jesus is willing to save you if you just say, I need you, Jesus. Okay? When I read this and when I was praying and getting ready for this sermon, that passage came to me because it makes the gospel simple, yet so many times we miss it. Trying to do all this extra stuff. Did that man go to Christ? Was he with God? Yes, he was with God. Because he believed. He admitted he was guilty. And he said, I need you, God. And we got to get to the place where we share that gospel. That same gospel. Jesus saved somebody while he was on the cross. Before he resurrected. Remember, you guys check that. I was saying that last week. The gospel was being shared before Jesus even resurrected. Because it was prophesied. It was preordained. The Bible says it was there from the beginning of time. As I read earlier, it was there from the foundations of the world, this plan that God had in place. So we must share the gospel and keep it in its proper context. Amen. Next week, if the Lord say the same, we'll continue when the gospel comes from revelation and not investigation or something else that people try to do. It comes from revelation. But I'll tell you this, when God's revealing yourself, he might make you start doing investigation stuff. Man, I got to go see what, I don't know if this is true, man. Like I said, who got Netflix? Anybody got Netflix? Couple of us. All right. If you got T-Mobile, you got Netflix. They give it to you for free. And but that's about it. Don't go past that. Thank you for T-Mobile. But I will say there's a story. What's that movie called? About the journalism guy, the journalist, The Case for Christ. This man wanted to prove God was fake. But doing all that research, you got to watch the movie to actually see what happens. Amen. But let us share that gospel. Amen. No spoiler alerts here. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. Thank you to God for the ability to hear from you. Jesus, I pray to God that anybody that listened to this message, even today or as whatever the day that they are listening to it, God, I pray to God that your word would touch them. God, that you would begin to reveal yourself. Maybe somebody doesn't know who you are. God, we pray to God that you would bring them into the realization of who you are and that you want to save us despite us being a mess, despite us being guilty, despite us not being right. But God, you came to make us right through your son. So we accept your son. And we accept who you called us to be, dear God. And we want to walk as children of the light. Dear God, we just pray that you move by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.